Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively post your opinion on the Red Cafe forums.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Welcome to episode 3 of the RedCafe.net podcast. I'm Stephen Darwin, and as usual, I'm joined by David Schiavone and Daniel Lomax. Hello, guys, how are we?
I'm not too bad, Stephen. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks, mate. And I'm even more pleased about the result at the moment at Liverpool. 2-0 to Aston Villa at the moment. I know we're only midway through the second half, and I expect Steven Gerrard will come up with a hat-trick. But, yeah, it's all good at the moment.
And Dan, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, mate. I've got a bit of a cold, but apart from that, I'm superb. I hope it's just not swine flu, you know.
I hear there's a bit of that going around.
That's quite funny. No, I think I'm fine. I think I'll be all right. Yeah.
Well, coming up in today's show, we'll be reviewing the fantastic victory over Wigan. We'll have a brief look at the defeat to Burnley, but we don't want to dwell too much on that. We'll look ahead to Arsenal in what's going to be a crucial game on Saturday. And, we've got the regular features of the week. Club Cabbage, Player of the Week, Dan's got a Legends profile, and he's going to be looking at the under-18s this week. Just to let everyone know, the show is now available on iTunes, so that means we're going to get sort of the emails back up and running from next week. So do get in touch with us. The email address is podcast@redcafe.net. If you haven't already, sign up to the redcafe.net podcast Facebook group too. And yeah, well, that's all the links for now. And let's start reviewing Wigan away, guys. 0-0 at half time, but to come back and win 5-0 in the second half, that's not a bad result, is it, considering the defeat to Burnley in midweek as well? Do you think there'd have been a bit of a hairdryer treatment from Ferguson after the loss to Burnley, guys? Or was it just one of those games and Ferguson just let players get on with it and do the business on the weekend?
I think it was... maybe we underestimated them a little bit. Obviously, they've just been the way they came up through the playoffs, and what was it? Giggs and Carrick started in the middle. Didn't really convince me. Let's say Anderson. I thought not on the left wing. I'd like to have seen him in the middle because he's quite a tough tackling, battling midfielder as well. And I thought that would have worked quite well against Burnley. And to be fair, we did have the better of the game. We created stupid amounts of chances, but one. I don't know, is he Liverpudlian? Is he Scouse? I don't know. But he couldn't finish his dinner, which maybe cost us. And then Michael Carrick obviously missed a pen anyway, so I think it's just one of those things. One of those things, but I do think we underestimated them a little bit.
I thought that Giggs played quite well in central midfield, though. Carrick was poor again. I don't know what's happened to him since, I don't know, sort of Christmas time last year. He's not been on top form, has he? But I agree with you, Dov, in the sense that Anderson playing out wide. He has done it before for Gremio, but obviously he's not really done it much for United. He didn't really have much impact on the game either, but I thought Giggs played well. And I think you're a bit harsh on Owen as well. I think he just needed that one goal, and he's obviously got it now against Wigan, which is a great finish. And, you know, maybe he'll go on and get a few more goals for us now. But, yeah, the Wigan game was a great reaction to the defeat at Turf Moor. And I think Ferguson must have had a few words to say in that dressing room. But like you say, Steve, 0-0 at half-time at the DW Stadium, which I think is a stupid name for a stadium, but there you are. Fair play to Dave Whelan, but I think that's a little bit big-headed, isn't it, really? But
well, at least he never called it the David Whelan Stadium. Like, he never said his
full name. He might as well have done, hasn't he? I mean, you know, some people are content with having a stand named after him, but the whole stadium.
Just quickly, guys, just going back to the Burnley game, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but on the forum, on the redcafe.net forum, a few people have been sort of criticising Carrick for the penalty and saying that he shouldn't be taking them. I didn't think it was that bad a penalty, to be honest. He struck it with enough power. I know it was a good height for the goalkeeper.
Lads, if you'd have asked me before, when that penalty was taken, who do you think will take it? I think the first person that springs to mind would be Carrick. Rooney, I know Rooney takes a good penalty at times, but I've never seen him really... sort of convincing. Carrick in the Champions League final and Community Shields and whatnot, he seems to have took him away quite well. Like you say, you know, it was alright, it was a decent height, but Jensen made a good save, and that's the way it is. But I wouldn't blame Carrick for the whole defeat.
Well,
some people have done.
it was a terrible penalty, but a terrible penalty for me was Evra in the Community Shield, or when a player completely misses the target completely. That's a terrible penalty in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you've got to remember as well, is like, he probably takes penalties in training and scores 9 out of 10 of them. As well, he's not just like being flung in at the deep end here, Michael. You go and take a penalty. He's obviously a penalty taker, and he just missed it. And I agree. I didn't think it was that bad. I've seen a lot worse penalties. Berbatov's won last season, for example.
And let's move on to Saturday now and the 5-0 victory. Wayne Rooney, that's his 100th goal for us. Well, 101 now, guys. Just looking back over the years, what's your favourite Wayne Rooney goal? We've got a thread started by T Howard on the forums. There's been quite a few suggestions, but mainly most people view that volley against Newcastle as sort of his best goal in a Manchester United shirt, and you can't really disagree with that, can you? It was an absolutely tremendous strike, wasn't it?
That was the one I was thinking of, Steve. I was just thinking the volley against Newcastle. Somebody obviously got there before me, but yeah, just the technique and just the way it went in, it was just absolutely fantastic. So, but I'm sure he's going to score much better goals than that.
Yeah, that was a great strike, but the one that I particularly like is at Bolton at Old Trafford, the counter-attack when Ronaldo and Rooney, I think there was only like three passes all the way up to, you know, one end of the field to the other, and Rooney tucked it away well. And the one against AC Milan as well at Old Trafford, which I thought he took very well. So he's capable of doing it, and obviously he's got a lot of great goals already, so hopefully another 100.
And guys, would you bet against him sort of going on to become United's record all-time goalscorer? I mean, he's only 23 years of age. I believe Bobby Charlton, is it, holds the record, and I believe it's somewhere in the region of 200, 250 goals. Is that a realistic target for Wayne Rooney?
I think it certainly is.
Really? I think he's going to get another 100 odd goals.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I honestly think he's going to be there the rest of his career. I only would see him moving when he gets into his sort of mid-30s, something like that. I think he's going to stay. If you give him what, another 6-7 years, I think he can get another 150 goals, especially because I think he's going to be playing a bigger role in getting the goals, whereas that has always been on sort of Ronaldo or Van Nistelrooy. Now I think it's on him to be the top goal scorer.
Yeah, it just depends how long he stays. I mean, he's shown obvious commitment to us. He said he loves United and loves the fans and everything else, but you know, if for instance, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson, when he retires and a new manager comes in, you know, he might move for all we know, but I wouldn't. I don't think I bet on him scoring 200 plus goals. I don't know.
And Dan, I know you've got quite a lot to say about Dimitar Berbatov.
I know you don't particularly like him, but I'll tell you, on Saturday, he did everything you'd want in a striker. He held the ball up well. He showed great vision and awareness. His touch was superb as always, and you know his passing was good as well. And I even saw him tackle and make it. You know. Win the ball back for us in midfield, which was great.
I could tell you were impressed, Dan, because I even got a text message. It was quite short and sweet. I was like, but yeah, give him his dues. He was fantastic.
He played really well against Wigan. He's just got to do it more consistently now. We said that all last year, and you know he's had a pre-season now. He said himself he feels a bit stronger. But I honestly think he's going to get us 25 goals this season. He's got his first on Saturday, so hopefully he can continue it along with Rooney as well.
It's just about Berbatov being in the mood, isn't it? When Berbatov is in the mood and he's really up for it, there isn't a better striker. Well, you could arguably say there isn't a better striker in the world. And it's just about making sure he gets up for it. And hopefully that performance, coupled with the result as well, the emphatic result, that will help him kick on and he'll produce similar performances. Well, he's going to need to against Arsenal, isn't he? Because that's a huge game potentially now with Arsenal playing so well at the moment. But Dov, Michael Owen, you were quite open with your criticisms about his Liverpool past and everything in the last couple of shows, but scored a goal now for United. Does that sort of take a bit of that away from it?
I'm glad he scored, Steve, because I agree with what Dan said earlier on. I think he did need a goal to sort of settle his nerves, especially like scored so well in pre-season, but I think a Premiership goal sort of like settle him in to keep his nerves down. And to be fair, he did celebrate with a lot of gusto and actually looked like it meant a lot to him as well, which that went down good well in my book. But I'll never forget he was a Liverpool player. It doesn't matter if he scored a billion goals for us.
I think it was in the Daily Mirror. I read an article that sort of it was having a go at Owen for celebrating. It was sort of saying, oh, he's not respecting his roots, his Liverpool past, and the fact that he celebrated a goal and he sort of like acknowledged the United fans that had travelled. To be honest, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Come on, I mean, fair enough. I mean, if you went to Anfield and started running around doing cartwheels and things, maybe you'd sort of question that a bit. But it's a bit harsh, isn't it, to say he shouldn't be celebrating a goal.
Everybody was waiting to see what had happened when he did score. I think I brought it up in the last pod saying, oh, do you reckon he's celebrating stuff? But I was happy to see him, you know, he give a little bit of a kiss to the United fans. Didn't quite kiss the badge, which would have been hilarious. But
the day he kisses the badge has got to be a good day.
I don't think he ever will do, but as long as he tucks the goals away, I don't care what he does.
Okay, Dov, Michael Owen is off the mark. How many, realistically, do you think he can get this season? I mean, predominantly he's going to be an impact sub, isn't he? He's not going to start that many games. So is it fair to say you can see him getting 10, 15 this season?
Are we talking just in the league or in all competitions?
Let's go all competitions.
I think in all competitions he'll probably get about 15, between 15 and 20 goals. I think he'll get a lot of Carling Cup games and sort of lesser Champions League games and he'll score goals.
20 is ambitious for me.
No, I agree with that. I think you get 20. He's going to play all the League Cup games. He's going to play the majority of the FA Cup games, I think, as well. So depending on how well we're doing those, he could quite easily get 17, 20 goals. If we do well in Champions League as well and he comes on for like the half an hour, I think he'll grab a few goals there.
The chances we created against Burnley as well, I mean, if he finishes like maybe one or two of them, like we always create loads of chances, and if he just like finishes a couple a game, then I think it's quite a realistic target, to be honest.
I'd be quite happy with, well, I'd be delighted with 15. I think 20's a little bit ambitious, but then we might come back at the end of the season and I'll have egg on my face because he might end up getting 25. You never know. But, guys, Nemanja Vidic coming back, that was obviously huge for us. With Rio Ferdinand being ruled out now, we're led to believe around a month. It was key, wasn't it, that Vidic was coming back this sort of time. And, the defence was so much more assured, wasn't it? Obviously, Vidic is that leading figure at the back. And I think that might have even helped Ben Foster, sort of knowing that he had Vidic in front of him, such a quality defender in front of him. That maybe helped him settle his nerves a bit. Dan, would you go along with that?
Yeah, well, Vidic came in, you know, it's another clean sheet. He gave a committed performance, spirited. I don't think he's fully fit yet, but he won everything in the air. The only down point, of course, is the aftermath with Roda Jaeger. But apart from that, I think he gave a solid display and I was well impressed with him, yeah. That's nothing to say that John O'Shea didn't do well in the previous games, but I think when you have someone like Vidic there, you really do know that you've got a chance of keeping goals out, and Foster would have been delighted, you know. Vidic must organise the defence quite well as well, so I think when we get Rio back as well, Rio and Vidic, obviously, from last year, we know a top quality, and it'll only help bring Ben Foster on and give him more confidence.
Dolph, how did you rate the performance of the two wingers, Nani and Valencia? I mean, in the past, a lot of it went through Ronaldo, didn't it? You couldn't hide that fact. But this, we seem to be getting it out wide, getting crosses in the box and sort of relying on our strikers to do a bit more. Obviously, Rooney coming up with a couple of goals and another headed goal as well, which is great to see. But I think it's going to be a big season, obviously, for Nani, and I think for Valencia as well. I think the two wide players could be key this season.
Well, I think I was actually just going to ask you about what you thought about Nani. I think he's had a really, really encouraging start to the season. I mean, that's two or three games he's played really well in the last sort of month or two. And I honestly think this season, I said it last season and you both ridiculed me. And I think this season he's really going to kick on and become the player that we all thought he was going to be. And I thought that like last season at the time, we'd just give him some games and give him some time and he'll be there. But I think this season he will kick on, and if he shows the same commitment as Ronaldo did, there's no reason why he can't be as good as him, as far as I'm concerned.
And Darren Fletcher, guys, well, what can you say? He's certainly commanding a place in that starting 11 and arguably the first name on the team sheet.
Yeah, I think Fletcher, to be fair to him, you know, he's really has staked his claim. Like you say, Steve, I'd put him in there. I just think his performances have improved vastly over the last 3 years. And I think he's overstepped the likes of Carrick now and possibly Scholes as well to start in the central midfield. I don't really prefer... I don't like him when he's out wide. I don't think he's got enough pace and creativity, sort of speak, as a winger, but definitely inside in central mid. I think he plays really well, and I think he complements the other players around him. His drive and passion for the club as well, which is clear to see. So, you know, I think this season Fletcher could be the player of the year.
Do you not think that's a bit worrying? Because Darren Fletcher's nowhere near a world-class centre midfielder, which, as far as I'm concerned, all big clubs need. And that's worrying that he is the best we've got.
I think it shows that we're crying out for a creative midfielder. I think, I wrote an article last week that sort of suggested we could do with a Wesley Schneider sort of player. And I think that's exactly what we're missing. I know Carrick brings various qualities. He's got the Hollywood pass and his array of passing is second to none. But Michael Carrick, for me, he's not that sort of penetrative centre midfielder that can drive forward with the ball and has got tricks up his sleeve, that sort of attacking midfielder that I think we're dearly lacking at the moment.
I just think that Fletcher could maybe step up now. I mean, he's obviously not got the skills of a player like Schneider or Van der Vaart or anyone like that, but he's got endeavour, and football fans like to see that. And I'm going back to the dark ages, you know, where you just want people running around and chasing around up front like Tevez did last year. But I think in midfield you need someone who's going to win the ball back. And especially, like, you know, without Hargreaves, whether he's going to come back top notch is another matter. But I think Fletcher's right up there now. We missed him last year in the Champions League. I don't know if he'd have made a massive difference to the result, but in terms of the performance and picking us up when we needed a bit more drive, I think Fletcher's the perfect guy for that.
Do you not agree then, Doc, that we've got sort of like what we've got in Fletcher is a hard-working midfielder that every team needs one of them? I mean, Liverpool have got Mascherano, Chelsea have got Essien. I know Fletcher, I would say he's not in the same class as like Michael Essien, but Darren Fletcher will do a job for you. He'll get stuck in. You can see playing for Manchester United means the world to him, and he'll run through a brick wall for the club, and I think that is the sort of player we need in there.
Darren Fletcher is nowhere near on the level of Mascherano or Essien or any of those players. Fair enough, he'll put in a good shift, but for me, he's technically not good enough.
Mascherano's not particularly technical, is he?
No, but Mascherano, his positional sense is fantastic, and his tackling's fantastic, and he runs about like a crazy madman. Darren Fletcher runs about, but his positional sense is lacking at some point.
I'm not sure. I think Fletcher's reading of the game's improved a lot, and I don't particularly think Mascherano's a world beater. He's good at what he does, but I'm not sure he's got enough. If he was to play for United, for instance, whether he's got enough going forward. I mean, the amount of times I see Mascherano playing a backwards pass or a sideways pass when he could, you know, play it into feet to a Torres or a Gerrard or whatever. I just think that, yeah, he's full of running, like you say, but I don't think he's particularly brilliant. I mean, I'd probably get a bit of slating for that, but I can't see it.
Yeah, no, Fletcher's better. He's more creative than Mascherano, but Fletcher's I want Mascherano to run about and break up passes and break up play and win the ball back, right? And then play a pass to a Michael Carrick or a Steven Gerrard, who's then going to create things. Darren Fletcher is not good at creating things, but he's not that guy who's going to break up play and run about and tackle.
I disagree. I think he breaks up the play quite well.
I disagree. I don't think he does. I think he runs a bit
like
Eddie.
I'm completely with you, Dan. I think that Fletcher is that player. I think he is the sort of player that will get stuck in and win the ball back and play it simple. And I think there's even an extra dimension to Darren Fletcher's game because he can get forward and score goals. He's proved that in the past. So I'm a big fan of Fletcher, yeah.
Has he not got a bit of a reputation for not really playing against the smaller teams, thinking he's better when he plays against teams like Burnley or Portsmouth or teams like that, but then when he plays against teams like Chelsea or Arsenal, he races his game for some odd reason?
Yeah, but look at, I know there's a fair point on that because it has been proved in the past, but look at Wigan on the weekend. You wouldn't class that as a bigger game, yet Fletcher was one of the more outstanding players again, so that sort of put that
That's just one game. I'm talking generally over like two or three seasons. That's how he plays. It won't play against smaller teams, but against the bigger teams, it'll score a winning goal, have a fantastic performance. But for me, he's not good enough.
Let's move it on there. some contrasting opinions there on Darren Fletcher. But
it's only taken us two podcasts. But
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Some great news to come from Anfield, guys. It's full time now. Aston Villa 3, Liverpool 1. What a result that is for us.
That is good stuff.
Benitez for the sack, I say. Fat Spanish waiter, all that lot.
Get John Barnes in. He'll sort them out.
Right, let's move on to the Red Cafe topic of the week this week. This week I've gone for the topic surrounding Dimitar Berbatov and whether he should be tried as a central attacking midfielder. That topic was started by Amir51. Guys, what's your opinion? Dimitar Berbatov, should he be dropped into a more central midfield position? The general consensus from Cafites is that he should be played more advanced as the sort of central striker that, well, Ferguson was criticised for last season, and what he apparently realised was the big problem, that Berbatov should be played at the front of the attack. Guys, your opinions?
There's no way that... Well, I can see why people would think that. I think that I'd much rather see him at the top of the... at the top of the attack, you know, the pinnacle, like you say. I think him and Rooney playing up top, as far forward as they can, I think would look most dangerous.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you should keep them up top, because then they both sort of drop down and come back as well. I don't think playing them as a sort of central attacking midfielder is the way forward for him. I think you need to keep him up top, because remember, he's quite lazy as well, so you didn't want to tire him out.
I don't think he's that lazy. And if you've got someone like Rooney up alongside him anyway, I think that compensates. But if we're going to be playing 4-4-2, which it looks like we're going to be doing this year, you know, with Nani on the left, Valencia on the right, we're going to be getting a lot of crosses in. So I think we need both of them in the box, and then obviously one of your midfielders getting in there as well.
Well, this is Amir's argument. He would have Fletcher and Carrick as the central midfield pairing, Valencia and Rooney on either wing, with Berbatov in the middle, so sort of like a three midfielders and two defensive midfielders, and then Michael Owen up front on his own. And he claims that Berbatov holds the ball up well. His through ball is one of the best on our team. And as you saw from the Wigan game, he can be quite creative and open it up for others. At the same time, he's pretty good at picking out the guy making the run. So how would you react to those arguments?
I think that Berbatov, like I said before, I think he's better up top. He can still do all the little things, like, you know, play a through ball. You saw Anelka and Drogba do it the other day against Fulham. You know, the way them two worked as a pair. That can still happen with your front two. You don't need someone to be dropping that deep, really, I don't think.
Thing as well, if you're playing the two, like, if you play Rooney and Berbatov up top, both of them, then they'll drop deep at different times, switch positions as well. It's a bit more fluid than having sort of Berbatov as the rigid central attacker midfielder that everything comes through, and then obviously forcing Rooney to a position he was good at but he doesn't like. So I think I quite like, if I'm going to play Berbatov, I'd play him up top so that he can drop deep and do what he wants to do, because I think the way he plays, he's a player that likes to do things the way he wants to do it. He's an artist, shall we say. But that's the biggest compliment I've ever gave him. I want that. Yeah. He's an artistic player, so I think sort of having him as this is where you're playing in the middle, I don't think it's good. I don't think it would work.
There's a poster called Feed Me, very interesting name, on the Red Cafe forum, and he said, I think Rooney and Berbatov as a pairing, if allowed to gel, will provide more than ample creativity, variation and goal threat. I think that sums it up quite well, to be honest. I think there's not one
that's even more to the point. It's Ole's my hero. Which I quite like that name. That's one of the better names. He says, no thanks, no more messing about with players out of position. So that sort of puts that one to bed.
Okay, right, let's get on to the features of the week this week, guys. Cabbage and player of the week. We'll start with the player of the week. Dan, for you this week?
I think, obviously, you two are probably going to go with Wayne Rooney. I think Darren Fletcher. I think his overall performance against Wigan was particularly good. Yeah, and I think that game alone, I mean, I know we played against Burnley and there was nobody notable there to pick out from, so I'm going to go with Saturday and I think Fletcher.
What were you, Steve? Who do you think would be your player?
Well, quite surprisingly, you might think, but I'm going to give it to Dimitar Berbatov because... I think that he was outstanding against Wigan, and I think the big thing is, if Dimitar Berbatov had had a poor game against Wigan, imagine the critics. Imagine how many people have jumped on his back and sort of said, when is he going to prove that he's a quality player? He has produced. So I think there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and I really do think he's set to have a massive season. So yeah, Berbatov for me this week. Dob?
I'm gonna have to just say Wayne Rooney, because I think we'll get a lot of stick if none of us give Wayne Rooney player of the week. It was fantastic against Wigan, two goals as well. His 100th goal and 101st, so he is my player of the week.
And moving on to Club Cabbage, I forgot about Burnley, to be fair. I was going to give it to Nemanja Vidic just for his little scuffle with Roddy Jaeger, as that could really get him into some hot water, couldn't it? He could be banned if the FA deemed that he was involved in a sort of altercation there with Roddy Jaeger. But yeah, I know there were quite a few, well, a number of poor performances against Burnley, but for that little scuffle and what could turn out to be a ban for Nemanja Vidic, I'm going to give it to him. Dan?
Anderson, for his role against Burnley. I thought he was poor, albeit he was out of position, but I think he's been given a start, and I think Anderson needs to start performing. He's not really done it, has he? I mean, last year, I mean, he was good in little bits and pieces, wasn't he? But I think he's got too much potential for you to write him off as a poor player, and he's not going to make it. But at the moment, I just feel as though he needs to put a string of performances together, otherwise he'll be out of the door. Not this season, but I just think he's been a bit poor.
I'm giving it to senior Scouser Michael Owen. For the Burnley game, it was ridiculous. The amount of chances he missed. So I don't care. He scored a good goal.
He only missed two.
It was more than that. It was at seven or something. It was terrible.
Seven? I don't think it was. He missed a header and he missed that tapping at the near post. I mean, he might have missed one of them.
But yeah, we created enough chances for him to score one, especially against Burnley, and he couldn't do it. So he's getting my cabbage.
Okay, well, let's move on to reserved review now. Dov, there wasn't a reserve game, was there, in the week? So you've had a look at the under-18s in action.
Yes, yeah, Steve. Well, there was no reserve football. Apparently there was a game on tonight, being Monday, but there's nothing as yet, and obviously I've not seen it, so I wouldn't like to comment. But the under-18s played on the 22nd against Southampton under-18s, and unfortunately they were beaten 3-1, and it was a harsh lesson in the realities of under-18 football. We did take the lead. It was scored on the 17th minute. Ryan Tunnicliffe, he scored. It was actually quite a good goal. The ball was played through. I think it was Rabbo Morrison that played it through, but I do apologise, not in my notes, but he scored quite a good goal. But then Southampton sort of just upped their game after half time and scored three goals. A guy called Keegan, one a preen, scored a penalty, and McNish scored on the 80th minute. After the penalty, we were pouring forward trying to get an equaliser, but it wasn't to be, and then they sort of scored on the counter attack. So it wasn't really a good game. But there was a couple of players. There was a player, Nicky Ajozi, who played in the reserves last day. Year who was okay as well, but other than that it was pretty poor. So hopefully the reserves will be playing, and the reserves do not bad, so hopefully it'll be a bit better for me to watch next week hopefully.
And Dov, the goal scorer, Ryan Tunnicliffe, I can't say I know too much about him. Have you got any information on him?
Well, I know a little bit, not too much. He's a midfielder, he's an all-rounder, and is apparently quite powerful as well, so he likes to tackle, pass and score goals, and that's not me that says that, that's the Man United website that says that. He played last season, made 20 appearances for the under-18 side, and filled in at right back quite a lot as well, so he seems like he can sort of play anywhere, but he feels his strongest positions in midfield. And well, that was his first year in the academy last season, so first year in the academy, became a regular, so can't be too bad. Good powerful midfielder, possibly something that we might need in the future. So, seems like quite an all right player from what I've seen of him anyway.
Good stuff. And Dan, your legends profile for this week—it's an absolutely huge legend, isn't it? From more recent times as well.
Well, lads, it's David Beckham this week. Undoubted hero in my eyes. I think the guy is an absolute legend. I was much disappointed when he left the club, although it has proved to be a good decision by Ferguson. But I was gutted the day he left for Real Madrid. I just thought that the things he brought to the United team, you know, I mean, obviously his set pieces and his passing as well, I think they're brilliant, and I don't think there's anyone who can rival him at the club at the moment still. Even if Beckham came back at United now, I think he'd still have one of the best passing percentages in the Premier League. So I think the guy's an absolute legend. And obviously he's part of the youth team that won the Youth Cup in 92. Obviously Gary Neville's still there and Scholes still there, so I think it'd have been nice to see Beckham as well, but obviously not. And now he's a full-blown celebrity, isn't he? Which is something Ferguson slated him for, obviously in the past with Mari and Posh Spice. But I think his football credentials are plain to see. And he loved United as well, which is something that you don't always find from a lot of players. You know, players come and go. But I think Beckham, I think he really did want to stay. Yeah, and I think he win 5 or 6 Premier League titles with us? Scoring in the last game as well against Everton with that free kick. So it was a good send off. And I think he's one of our better players over the last 20 years, without a doubt. What do you guys think? I mean, I know a lot of people think that it was definitely the right time to move. And his lifestyle was getting in the way of his football, but I didn't see it like that. I thought that he was still doing well on the pitch as he was off it, but I suppose you can't argue with Mr. Ferguson, can you?
Fantastic player. I think it was the right time, though. Just sort of memories of Beckham. Obviously, the Wimbledon goal sticks out, the halfway line goal. Also, a goal he scored against Tottenham. I know it wasn't particularly that special, but I remember hitting the top corner. It was when we come back to win 5-3. I think we were 3-0 down at half-time and we came out and won 5-3 second half. And I remember Beckham being absolutely brilliant in that game. But yeah, tremendous player. But as I say, I think it was the right time.
Yeah, no, I'm going to maybe not be on or jump on the Beckham bandwagon. To be fair, it took me a few years to actually realise how good he was. Like, I remember watching him just thinking, this guy doesn't do anything. All he can do is he's got a right foot and that's it. But that changed. I watched us play Leeds. I just watched them play, and you see what you don't see or what you see on the pitch live that you don't see on TV is the actual work rate and what he does to help the team, and just his positioning out of what would be camera, like TV cameras, was just absolutely fantastic, and that really sort of changed my perception of him. It was then, and that was maybe like 2002. I wasn't his biggest fan before then, but after that, he was just a brilliant football player. And even now, he's 34 now or something like that, 34 or 35, he's still like one of the best players in the world. They went to Milan last year and was one of their best players. Granted, they weren't very good then, but I mean, he's so fit and he keeps himself in great condition, and he always has. I mean, testament to him.
I know you mean natural fitness there, Dov, and not anything of the other persuasion, although that's not a bad thing, but...
Dan, I'm sure we have many homosexual listeners that are very, very...
I don't have a problem
in that sense, but I mean in more of a running sense.
No, I just think he was a great player. The trophies that he won at United as well, the Champions League, you could see it's just his passion for the club. He supported the club from a young age as well, so I think it was... I do agree with you about being the right time to leave, but didn't hide my disappointment, though. I thought he was a good player. I thought he could still be there now.
I've got a good quote from him, Sir Alex. Should I do it in a rough Glaswegian accent? So I'll say authentic. It was never a problem until he got married. He used to go into work with the academy coaches at night time. He was a fantastic young lad. Getting married into the entertainment scene was a difficult thing. From that moment, his life was never going to be the same. He's such a big celebrity, football was only a small part. And that was Alex Ferguson there, live, speaking about David Beckham's marriage in 2007.
Fantastic. Okay then, guys. Well, before we close the show, let's look ahead to a massive game on Saturday. It's Arsenal at home. Don't know too much about team news with it being so early in the week, but obviously Rio Ferdinand's going to be out. I guess Evans is a doubt. So how would you sort of look at the team and shape up the team with Arsenal in mind?
Play John O'Shea. Well, hopefully.
Yeah, John O'Shea can fill in, I think. But I mean, I think Evans will be fit and Vidic will be all right as well to play. The main concern for me is in Arsenal terms is whether Fabregas will be fit to play. I know he came off, didn't he, at the weekend against Portsmouth with a bit of a hamstring injury. But I mean, it's probably a bit of a ploy by Wenger that though. I fully expect him to play. But if he doesn't, then it's a great loss for him. I think we'll come out on top. I think we've just got enough, especially with the confidence now of beating Wigan 5-0. I think we'll get a few goals, but obviously Arsenal can cause any team problems.
I would make sure Gary Neville doesn't play after his shambles against Arsenal last season. I would definitely have somebody with a tiny bit more pace.
Well, if you put Arshavin up against Gary Neville, I can only see one winner there. And it's not Gary Neville, so. we've got a few options at right back.
How do you think Arsenal are going to react, just considering the results last season, especially in the Champions League? Because we outclassed them, didn't we, at the Emirates? So will that spur them on to sort of come out and get some revenge? Or will they come to Old Trafford and just play a cautious game because they know what we're capable of?
No, I think, though, they play a bit, they're a good counter-attacking side and sort of they play to their strengths, obviously. They've had a good start to the season, so they've got a bit more momentum than us because they've played well since the start of the season, whereas we've sort of had that blip against Burnley. But I think if you looked at both sides, we are stronger, just on paper. At least if you took it like our best 11 and their best 11, we are strong. I think we are a bit stronger than them, even without Ronaldo and Tevez. I mean, they've lost Adebayor and Toure as well. So I mean, like this would be like Vermaelen's first real test. First time he's coming up against like an actual top quality side, and how will he shape up to that? Because I know when he left Ajax, the Ajax fans were glad that they got 10 million for him. They weren't really too bothered that he left, to be honest. I think if we make sure we test that back line, then there's no reason why we can't beat them.
Well, I'm going to come out and sort of put my pessimistic hat on and say that it's going to be really tight, and I'm even going to say it's going to be a draw. Obviously, I'd love us to get the victory, but the way Arsenal have been playing, they look sublime. And although we got the 5-0 victory against Wigan, it was against a distinctly average Wigan side. So I think Arsenal, they'll come at us. They'll put a lot of pressure on us. And we're going to have to really start from the off and be really up for it. But I see it finishing either 1-1 or 2-2. But it will still be a great game nonetheless. And obviously, I hope we come out on top. But yeah, I'm predicting that we're going to draw that one. Okay, well, that's just about it for episode 3 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Remember to email us with your views and thoughts at podcast@redcafe.net. That just leaves me to say thanks very much for listening. Hopefully we'll get a result against Arsenal on the weekend. And see you all again next week.